Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
At the 18th, Palmer would win the championship if he could hole out in one more putt. And like a born champion, he made no mistake.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hello, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning. Thanks for hanging with us. Got a lot to get to in the radio program. Want to remind you guys that Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only fan. So good. Only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off.
That off Friday, going into the weekend beer always hits solid.
A 10:30 a.m. beer today would feel amazing.
Actually, I kind of want to take a golf nap later today, and I might need a beer to get me there. Like one beer, like kind of a heavy IPA that you lay down. You kind of, maybe I need to get me a get me an OnlyFan. That'll do the trick.
Okay, so we ended the first hour with you guys yelling at me about a website and a company. No, not yet. What are we doing? No, we haven't got a cafe. We're walking to the cafe.
We're still
yet.
Yelling at each other.
We're
in
waiting
the parking
in line.
Should I park right here? Just park wherever you want to park.
You ever been to a nice Portland breakfast spot? You always have to wait 20 minutes.
Does your wife do that to you sometimes when you're going places? Where should I park? And you like look around and there's like seven open spots and you're like,
pick one.
And
here. Park here.
There, there,
here.
There, 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 or there.
Dirt, I would more say.
You have your pick of the litter. Where would you like
to park? I encounter she driving. In the rare instance, she drives when we're both in the car.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, it being, like, a Portland, like, a southeast Portland neighborhood. So it's tight.
A little tight.
Parking's not great. It more becomes, you park.
I don't want to do it.
Stopping in the middle of a
Ooh,
road.
Yeah.
Now we're switching.
That's pretty.
It's more likely that instance.
My wife is so stubborn that she would never do that. The funniest thing that she does while she's driving, other than not being able to pick a parking spot, is she refuses to use her backup cam when she backs up.
Oh, she goes old school.
She still goes old
school. I don't blame her there.
I mean, it's okay to use both methods.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You have a pretty state-of-the-art, it's a new car.
There's usually sensors on it, too, that like somebody can't see. They beep.
Yes, it tells you, and it just you look right there at the monitor, and you can see it.
Well, let's not get you in trouble. Let's point this back at me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your list is ridiculous.
CNBC's top 10 worst states to live in.
How you would name Tennessee the worst state is redonkulous.
Here are their key points of how they came up with their list. Are you ready for it?
What do we got?
Crime rates.
Okay.
Air quality.
All right.
Healthcare access.
Makes sense.
How is Idaho not on this? Worker protections.
How is Alaska not on the list?
And civil rights laws are among factors that can hurt a state in quality of life rankings.
Okay.
With more states touting their quality of life when trying to attract business, CNBC is giving it more weight in 2026 in the America's top states for business rankings. So we'll probably be last on that one.
Yeah. Pretty
and bad. Based on the data, quality of life in some states does not make the grade. So there's your reason why you get the list that you have. Is Nashville pretty? Yes. Does Nashville have, or does Tennessee have great healthcare access, worker rights, air quality? I can't speak to that, but according to them, no.
And this, again, would be my counter argument. Does Idaho have any of that? And maybe a little more scenic, I guess. Maybe the air quality is a little bit better. How is people texting in about Alaska? How are they not on the list?
I've been to Juneau, Alaska. I'm with you. Alaska should be on this.
If we put out, let's put a poll question right now.
If you had to pick a state?
If you had to pick, you have to move to a state. You're getting evicted and kicked out of your home state, in your hometown.
Nasty states.
You have
on this list.
Two choices, Tennessee or Alaska. Where are you picking? What percentage of people do you think are going to vote for Alaska?
Like, got to be less than 10. If you don't hunt and fish, why would you choose Alaska?
And I'm sure they have hunting and fishing in Tennessee, too.
I know, but
what do I need, grizzly bears?
It's better in Alaska.
That's fine. I don't need grizzly bears.
Big salmon.
Moose eye.
Yeah.
Running
do you have that stuff in Tennessee? I don't know.
I know that they hunt a lot in Tennessee. I don't know what they kill. Are there some boars running around in Tennessee, maybe?
I think you're right on
somebody
that.
Somebody asking how is Oregon not on the list. Joke's on you. You ever been to Klamath Falls? It's beautiful.
Well, is it? You've been to Burns?
Burns is wonderful.
Prineville?
Salem? Gorgeous.
Oh, the data centers in Central Oregon.
Prineville. Oh,
to die for.
Every time I'm going to Sun River and I drive through Prineville, I think to myself, you know what? Put some roots down right here. It's a good spot.
Hey, looks like our number's up. All right, let's go sit down in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
You picked a parking spot. Thank you.
Today on the menu, our special. Buckle up, boys.
Oh, what do we got? I'm hungry.
Oatmeal with almond milk and light brown sugar paired with an almond croissant.
I'm out. Get out of here.
What?
Take it back. You got any cheeseburgers back there?
I think that's a delightful breakfast.
No.
You got to ease into it.
What am I? What are we doing here? I'm at a diner. Who orders oatmeal at a diner?
It's special in-house made oatmeal with almond milk.
Let me guess. They put it in the microwave like I do at home?
And light brown sugar.
How many ways are there to make oatmeal?
And a lot of local croissant. Stuff in the on the menu today.
I'm eating granola.
Almond croissants are elite.
Does my date have hairy armpits? Get out of here. Where's my biscuits and gravy from yesterday, man?
Let's start with the action last night up north.
Here's DaCosta springing Anthony forward. Anthony gets by. Chance to shoot with the right foot. Plays it across. Kelsey's there. And it's four. The Sounders are sleeping in Seattle. The Timbers are dominating their Cascadia rival. Embarrassing them. It's 4-0 in Seattle.
Great call, Fletcher Johnson,
that is
on
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. Well
Heard
done.
Here on the fan. Yes, indeed.
Well done.
The rivalry, not so much last night. Timbers went 5-1, the beatdown at Lumen Field on Thursday night. It marks Portland's largest margin of victory against their bitter rivals since the Timbers joined the MLS in 2011. The Belgians have jinxed the Seattle soccer team by beating our ass in the World Cup.
Ooh.
Good luck, Seahawks.
It's a tainted field now.
Is
that what you're doing?
It's a tainted field.
Now, your theory might have some legs to it because did you know what they played on last night? They played on the World Cup grass field.
It's the last time we'll see grass at Lumen Field until
if we ever get another World Cup game or some sort of international soccer
match.
The
next NFL collective bargaining agreement.
yeah, maybe you get it at that. That was kind of cool, though. I mean, outside of kicking the crap out of Seattle. That's
always fun.
Did
you see the first goal?
I did.
Missed it.
It was an incredible head. I didn't see it live. No, Swag texted about it. I'm like, oh, if he's texting about a crazy goal, I got to go look at it. And then that's when I remembered the game was on and then turned the game on, and then they've scored a flurry of goals after that. So always fun to kick Seattle's ass. That was great. Delightful. Timbers fans are going crazy. Also cool for the players that they got to at least play one game on that grass field.
Yeah.
Because that stuff looked pristine.
I have kind of poo-pooed the MLS in some ways, and I don't mean to, but as somebody that's watched the Premier League, I just can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That first goal was a Premier League goal. That was full speed ahead.
Not all of them were, but that one was unbelievable.
That one was the header as he's in motion. That was a remarkable goal.
Was everybody playing for each side? Did we have like a shorthanded team? Is this like our wake-up
Seattle
call with a new coach?
Seattle was missing some.
Okay.
Portland had most of their dudes.
Was this our Caleb Canales game?
Very well could be.
Okay.
Because I keep hearing rumors they're about to announce he's just the interim. He was coaching the.
So they have not made him full time head coach yet?
No,
he's still on the interim tag.
The word is they're going to hire somebody from outside somewhere.
I mean, that's a pretty strong argument right there.
Let's go to D.C., where the Fire were on fire in the first quarter.
Engsler from the left wing. Now backing into the dribble. Right hand pass sideline. Samuelson near side. Three splash. Carly Samuelson was way stretched out there from deep.
There's A.J. Cannell, who I just met for the first time a couple days ago on the call. The Portland Fire get a 15-point lead in the first and never look back. 19-point win at D.C. Remember, they were in D.C. before a couple weeks ago, and they had a four overtime game. They didn't need four overtimes in this one.
They scored 56 points in this game?
The Mystics, yeah.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
A five and a six?
A five and a six. Fire had 12 points in the third quarter. That was rough.
Hey, nice dub, though. Nice dub. By the way, an update on the play-by-play guy having his lunch thrown out by Joe Fisher. Joe Fisher punished himself and bought a mini fridge for his desk.
As he should.
He's taking away his own fridge privileges, which, you know what? That's how you got to do. You got to take the bull by the horns and acknowledge your mistakes.
We had Giannis introduced yesterday in Miami with Bobby Portis and Pat Riley, soon to be in a joking mood.
I don't want to get knocked out. You know, Bam was one of those guys who came in here, too. Bam was in 2019, came in here, and he's been basically the foundation.
So he forgot to name Bam Adebayo.
That's my bad. Hand up.
As he was running through the things of Miami Heat Giannis related, and yeah. So he makes the Tyler Hero joke, I don't want to get knocked out. And so he shouts out Bam Adebayo. Here's what Giannis had to say in explaining the Heat allure.
I love pressure. Coach Spo talked about pressure, and I think I thrive pressure. I think I need pressure at this time of my career. I think in order for me to go to the next level, I got to get out of my comfort zone, and I feel like Miami was a place for me to be. We are very like-minded as a team, and me, and it was a no-brainer. I wanted to be here. I'm excited to be here, and I want to get to work.
He's wearing the number 7. He said he's not going to wear 34 because he wants 34 to be the number in Milwaukee.
I appreciate that.
So he switched numbers. I think that's a really cool thing as well.
Yeah.
We'll see if he gets LeBron. We'll get to that in just a minute. But Giannis introduced yesterday as a Miami Heat, says Spo, Riley, the organization. Can we also just be honest in the year 2026, our Lord?
Yes.
The one thing that we don't talk about enough with these athletes when they make these moves, not that he was a free agent, but he really clearly drove the trade to go to Miami, and I think the Bucks kind of gave in to that in some ways because I don't think that trade's great.
Mm-hmm.
I hate how we don't talk about he's probably going to make an S-ton of money in Miami with business-related things, saving money on state income tax.
Yeah, the taxes, there's a massive difference.
It's just an under-talked-about element of pro athletes now is the marketing element, the business opportunities that present themselves. Miami will let you get away with anything you want to do.
It's Miami.
A permit for what?
Yeah.
Just do it.
I'm not shocked that he wants to live in checks, notes, Miami.
Yeah.
I will question, though, like you want that competitive fire and you want to have that set. Like, I get all of that. The modern NBA tells us in the second apron era, it's pretty difficult to win when you got two guys making that much money and neither of them can shoot the basketball. So it might end up being a physically dominant, great defensive team. Maybe Giannis stays healthy and returns to his old form. I still have massive questions about that fit on the floor and what they're going to have around them.
Order up. LeBron James has yet to make his decision. We can get to that today, but he talked yesterday. I thought this was a cool moment. The only baseball game we had was Mets and Phillies, and Bryce Harper was mic'd up during the game and asked about LeBron.
I don't know. I think he's going to the Cavs. I think he's going back home to end his career there. But you never know. I think obviously they got a couple guys over there that are pretty fun to play with. Got Jaylen Brown. So I don't know. You want to come to a crazy city and have some fun. I mean, this is it.
It's a really new age thing, and I'm not mad about it. I also still find it odd we're miking guys up in the middle of games.
Yeah, all-star game. Doing it outside of an all-star game is weird, and it should be illegal. But in an all-star game, I'm okay with it, and I find it very enjoyable. And it's also funny.
All-star game, yes.
Yes, but when you do it in a regular game, I'm with you. It also makes for a hilarious moment when a guy strikes out. Because that happened a couple of times during the all-star game. Like, let's mic this guy up during an at-bat. Swings and misses. Like, all right, well, thanks for that time. He's talking while trying to hit a 97-mile-an-hour cutter inside on his hands. Like, good luck with that, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with LeBron.
Order up.
ACC Media Days rolled on yesterday, and I believe we'll roll on again today.
Yes, they are going on right now. I just saw a Rhett Lashley quote from SMU.
Speaking of Rhett Lashley and SMU, Eric Mack of the ACC Network says this about the team right behind Miami.
I think we're going to see SMU be the second team that kind of fills in there. There's a lot to like with Kevin Jennings coming back as a third-year starter. He was injured a lot last year and still was able to really push the ball downfield, was still able to
you know, really just be dynamic with how he ran that offense. And, you know, they were a play away from being back in the ACC championship and, you know, ultimately, most likely, you know, being back in the college football playoff. Just couldn't finish, you know, the drill out west in a crazy, you know, late night West Coast game against Cal. You know, so I think there's a lot of promise there.
We talked yesterday, and you think it's Miami and everybody else, and I think most people feel that way as well. But interesting to hear an ACC network analyst say that he thinks it's SMU. Not that it's preposterous. We saw them make the playoff 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Got close last year to doing the same stuff. We just don't talk about them. They're almost like the Utah of their conference. We know their coach is good.
Mm-hmm.
Their quarterback is back for his third straight year of starting.
He's a very good quarterback, too.
I'm not even thought about SMU this offseason. They might end up back in the playoff this year.
Very well could. They could be in the ACC championship game this year. And remember, in my face from yesterday, who was the team that beat Miami last year? SMU. Knocked them off in overtime. Now, there was some questionable calls and plays that happened late in that game. If you remember, I think a roughing the passer call that extended a drive.
I do remember that, yeah.
That allowed SMU to go score and tie the game, and they ultimately went on and won in overtime. It was a great setting and a great environment, and I think it's a spot-on point. We do forget about them. I'd almost equate them. Utah's a good comp. BYU, the last couple of years.
That's a great one.
Because they haven't been to the playoff. You kind of forget that they've been right there on the doorstep the last 2 years. SMU, and one of the conversations we have about Rhett Lashley is, when's he going to leave? That seems to be the narrative about him. And to this point, he has not left yet. So maybe that narrative should change, and we should be giving them more credit. When you got a third-year returning starting quarterback, that is such a rare thing in college football. 3 years, one place, same school, same coach. That is an absolute outlier in 2026.
He also gets to be in Dallas.
Yes.
Which a lot of people love to live in Dallas.
There is money there. They have money to spend in a program.
And they have money.
As we know historically.
You know he's being taken care of. Yeah. So I think Rhett Lashley likes to just kind of sit and lay in the weeds, mm-hmm. be at a good spot, and we'll see what SMU does. But ACC network analyst says he thinks it's SMU second in that conference going in.
Order up!
Last order up here in the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. ACC Media Day, we got to have one coach be played. We'll get to some coach audio, but I wanted to play this one about blocking out noise for team expectations.
It's not what people predict. If it was about what people said, what they predicted, we win the league last year, we go to the national championship. All right? That's what I tell these guys. And this year, ain't none of y'all going to pick us. Ain't none of y'all going to say anything good about us. I've been dead. I'm gone. I think I'm still here. All right? But it's not about that either. It never has been. If it was about what people predicted, I'd have been gone a long time ago. All right? It's about what you do. That's what it's about. And, you know, we didn't do the football stuff well enough last year. And, you know, we got everything we need. We don't have to make any excuses. And so we're going to get what we earn this year. And so that's what we're focused on, doing what it takes to earn the results that we want. You know, it's not about what we say. And, haters hate, right? As I said, there's a bunch of hate. I don't know who wrote that song, but, you know, the one thing about haters, when you win, it don't matter what they say. And when you lose, it don't matter what you say. So don't focus on that. Just focus on let's go get better.
Who wrote the song Haters Hate?
Haters gotta hate, 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 hate.
Is he doing a Shake It Off reference?
I don't know what that was.
Dabo's going to ain't there, Dabo? As please. Dabo Swinney at the ACC Media Day.
Please don't leave my world, Dabo Swinney. I want more audio clips. I want more sound bites. I want more questioning looks on the sideline, defending what you did 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the Dabo Swinney that I want, and it was great to have him back again yesterday. Y'all don't know how good you have it. We've lost 4 ACC games in 2 of the last 3 years, and our conference isn't very good. But everybody forgets that back in 2014, we won a national championship.
I love the block out the noise. You know, people doubt you. People been doubting us. They picked you last year to win the conference and be in the playoff, and you were incredibly disappointing.
A great way. I don't know how good either team's going to be in the context of last year. We certainly thought both would be contenders, and one ended up firing their coach, and the other one had a dismal season and might fire their coach this year. To start the season as the first college game day in week one with LSU Clemson at LSU, all of Lane Kiffin's money coming in, all the hype and expectation, Dabo going into a year where everybody's looking at him like, dude, I don't think you have your fastball anymore. You can't start 0-1. Like, this is a game you got to be competitive in and win. That is a great way to start the college football season.
All right, there we go. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at the top of the 7 a.m. hour. Let's pivot and stay in college football. We could talk about Dabo in the ACC, the Big Ten, and Oregon. Phil Steele will give us his thoughts. Can Oregon State win the Pac-12 in year one? Phil Steele of the College Football Preview Magazine joins us next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore.
where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, welcome back in. We're awaiting the phone call of one Phil Steele. I'm pretty sure I gave him the number in the email, but I'm like sitting in that 6% of uncertainty where I'm like, uh-oh, is this me? Is this my fault?
Is this one on me? Go check the inbox. Go check your sent
here.
Mail.
Hold on.
I just go back to that thing from the last segment. Like, if you're a Clemson fan, there is such a weird balance of...
I'm tired of hearing it.
Yes.
I just am. Like, the two titles, thank you.
Thank you for all you've done.
Relevant.
Stop talking about 10 years ago. It doesn't matter anymore.
Every time, dude.
Like,
they made the playoff a couple years ago. But still, you kind of made it as an outlier reason. Like,
they were a three-loss team. They happened to stumble their way into the ACC title game because Miami threw up all over themselves, and then you beat SMU, if I remember correctly, on like a long 60-yard field goal or something. It was
a 55-yard
and without
field
that
goal.
You don't make the playoff, and then you're going on half of a decade without a playoff experience. Like, this is clearly becoming a trend. It's one thing to not panic if you're a big time program right now and you experience a down year where you lose three or four games. Mm-hmm. If it's the outlier, I think everybody's okay with that and rational enough. Now, not all, but some will be, all right, that's one year, it's a blip on the radar, let's get back to business next year. This is a trend, man. We're going on, if you look at Clemson over the last 5 to 6 years, going all the way back, they obviously won the national championship in 18, lost the national championship in 19. Then you had the 2020 season where they got to the Sugar Bowl in that COVID year. That was Lawrence's last year. Since then, it's been the Cheez-It Bowl. They lost the Orange Bowl, went to the Gator Bowl, stumbled their way into the playoff, and then they were 7-6 and lost the Pinstripe Bowl last year. Like, that's a 5-year run where you have not been competitive at the highest levels of the sport. And so much of it is self-inflicted. You have money, you have resources, you have fan support. All of that is there. You have a head coach who's been refusing to use one of the mechanisms to make his roster better and then turning around and telling you how great things were 10 years ago. So in terms of interesting storylines this year, Clemson's pretty high up on my list because of the opening game against LSU, the pressure that's on Dabo to get, like, if you go 7-6 again this year, 7-5 and then a bowl game that doesn't matter to anybody, I don't know how you bring him back for another season.
I gave him the number. It's the same as the fan text line.
Come on, Phil. Come on, Phil.
Probably going long. We know how these go.
They
when
go
you've
a little
scheduled
long.
Interviews, people go long. They talk too much.
That happens from time to time.
So we'll hopefully catch up with Phil Steele here, the Phil Steele College Football Preview Magazine. Dude's been doing it for, is it safe to say, decades?
Yes, without a doubt.
Right, decades?
When I was a kid, I was buying his magazine.
Really?
I feel like I was. Was I not?
I'm going to laugh when it says it was created in like 2009.
Yeah, what's the first year that the Phil Steele magazine came out?
Let me look that up.
Because he's an older guy. Maybe I'm misremembering. I always remember buying college magazines when I was a kid. I just assumed it was Phil Steele's. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Athlon.
Well, I mean, you got Athlon, and you got a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, but there's a handful.
Phil's
of them.
Been doing a great job with his for a long time. He's a friend of the program. But
great friend. We used to have a weekly hit with him on the show.
We did. So we're awaiting Phil Steele to join us to call in. I gave him the phone number, so I have to kind of wait and see. I'm with you, but you know, I think it's tough for those guys, too, because one, he's refused to, and we'll get to this in the next segment because I got audio from one ACC coach that talks about evolving.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to evolve,
yeah,
which I never really understood from the start.
Why would you be stubborn?
Hubris.
Yes.
There was no other explanation for Dabo's refusal to touch the portal stuff other than, no, I know what I'm doing, and it ain't that.
I've always done it this way. It's worked for me. The game has changed, brother. You got to come up with new strategies and ways to do this.
Which to me is shocking because it's not like he's 74 in coaching.
No.
He's still...
How old is Dabo?
Is he 57? Is he 56?
Dabo Swinney was born in 1969. 56 years old.
Yeah, he's 56 years old. That's not that ancient in the coaching scheme of things.
No.
The portal came out just a few years back. Like, this dude was in his mid-50s.
Yes.
You should be willing to be flexible, evolve with the game. And he refused to, and now he's trying to do it. So the expectations are certainly going to be through the roof for Clemson. Even if they're not picked to win the ACC,
You got to go be competitive.
I think you need to make a playoff.
You got to be. And 9-3 is the baseline to satisfy me if I'm a Clemson fan, and that might not even be enough.
A lot to talk about in the world of college football, and we've got him, folks. The creator, the author, the do everything for it, Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine. Phil Steele himself joins us now on Twitter @Phil Steele. Phil, good morning. How you doing?
You know, I am doing great, and always great when I get to talk to Dirt and Sprague.
Ah, it makes your day just a little bit better when you get a cup of Dirt and Sprague. Let's start with college football and what you're getting to in the magazine this year. I was wondering earlier, as we get ready to talk about the Big Ten and Oregon State and the Pac-12, how much different or more challenging or not as challenging has it been with the addition of roster turnover and portal, where it feels like half of everybody's roster is changed every year?
Well, I tell you what, this year, I was so thrilled that there was no second transfer portal window. In fact, every coach I talked to, they'd say, Phil, how you doing? And I'd be like, oh, I am doing so much better. There's no second transfer portal window. I don't have to rewrite 138 teams all in the month of May, change my power ratings on all nine things. I go, I'm doing great. But you know what the coaches responded with? Phil, this was great for me because we feel more like a team this year. You know, with a team we took into the spring, we didn't have to worry. We could coach them harder. We could list them third string. We knew they weren't going to leave after spring. And the same token, the players weren't fearing they were going to get replaced. You know, oh my goodness, they're going to bring in the transfer portal. Who you took in the spring was going to be your team. And I think because of that, we're going to see a better brand of college football this year.
Yeah, that's a great point about the kind of continuity that you could have inside that locker room that we forget about from time to time with no spring window. Let's get to Oregon, Phil. I mean, obviously big expectations, maybe the most anticipated season in the history of Oregon football, though it feels like we're saying that quite often with Dan Lanning because of what he's built. What do you make of the roster, what they're returning, what is the vibe around Eugene, and where do you think they fit into the Big Ten and the national picture?
Well, Oregon's a legitimate national title contender. They could easily be the fourth different Big Ten team to win a national title in 4 years. And really, I was surprised Dante Moore returned. The fact that Dante Moore is back, I'm super impressed with him all season long. Didn't have a great game at the end, but overall, I think he could be first pick in the NFL draft. You got a receiving corps that was banged up last year. Gets Evan Stewart back to go along with Moore and McClellan. I am the number two rated receiving corps in the country, number one quarterback unit. The running backs, I like Jordan Davis, and he's a big boy. They also had De'Aaron Hill. They got Tre'Davious Ball. This is a loaded running back corps. And the offensive line, I rate number eight in the country. So this is a loaded offense. Either number one or number two offensively, I think, this year. Defensively, the entire defensive line's back, which I love. You've got the secondary, I rate number two in the country. It's a legitimate national title contender team. Now, they do have to play USC on the road. That's going to be a tricky one. USC, when I talked to Lincoln Riley, said got the best defense. They've got a veteran quarterback. They've got the offensive line. I thought they gave Oregon a good game last year, and now they have to go on the road, and USC was 7-0 at home. They also have to play Ohio State on the road, and the very next week play Michigan. So the schedule's not easy. Big Ten, of course, very tough. I rate it the 20 toughest schedule in the country. But no doubt, this is a great shot at Dan Lanning getting to that national title.
Phil Steele, our guest here of the College Football Preview magazine, on the shelves now. You can find it. It's, you know, it's basically a sports Bible if you need it going into a college football world where the rosters are turned over, depth charts, information galore. You can find him on Twitter at Phil Steele. Power rank the top four in the Big Ten for us. Like, we know Oregon's going to be involved in that, but how would you rank one through four of the Big Ten, in your opinion, going into the year?
Well, you know what I did this year in the magazine? I got the top three all tied because I can make a case for Ohio State winning the Big Ten. They've got the offense with Julian Sain. They've got the offensive line. They got Bo Jackson back. They got the best receiving corps in the country. There are some question marks on the defensive side of the ball, but I only rate them the number five defense in the country this year as opposed to where they were. It's a loaded team, but they play a tougher schedule. They have to play at Texas, at Iowa, at Indiana, at USC. And even at Nebraska is not an easy one. They, of course, also play Oregon and Michigan. They play the sixth toughest schedule in the country. Indiana is a team that I've got favored in all their games with the exception of Ohio State, and I rate that as a toss-up. You know, the interesting thing with them going to Josh Hoover this year, a quarterback, I'm going to go back to my first conversation with Coach Cignetti when he was at James Madison. They just moved up to FBS. And they were taking the move from FCS to FBS. They lost their all-conference quarterback. They had two quarterbacks with no experience. I'm like, well, Coach, you're probably going to struggle a little bit at quarterback. He's like, Phil, I've had a first-team all-conference quarterback almost every year I've been a head coach. We're going to have one this year. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. Guess what they did? And he took that confidence into Indiana. And I like the talent they have. This is a loaded, talented roster once again. Very capable of repeating. And as long as Coach Cignetti's the coach, I think they're a legitimate national title contender. So I list all three of those teams as legitimate contenders. And you said four. I'm glad you said four, because I think the one team that could sneak into that mix is USC. With USC, as I mentioned, they've got the defense. They've got Jaden Maiava at quarterback. They got Wayman Jordan back at running back. He was their top running back last year. Then they had to go to some scrubby walk-on, right, King Miller? All King Miller did was get 972 yards and 6.2 yards per carry. They're both back. They're playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the country. And while the receiving core is young, Lincoln Riley likes the talent they have there. So if they've got his best defense, that offense, they were 7-0 at home. They get Oregon at home. They get Ohio State at home, pull an upset there, and they could break into that top three as a playoff team.
Yeah, wide receivers under Lincoln Riley, never a big concern, even if we haven't heard the names, are usually pretty darn good over there. I know there's a lot of excitement here locally that Oregon State is now back in. I mean, they were technically still in the Pac-12, but obviously such a weird situation over the last 2 years. And now a full-look conference, some new members coming to town, a lot of people circling Boise as the leader of the front in the Pac-12. I'm just curious, what do you make of that conference? And now Jamarcus Shepherd taking over in Corvallis, and what the expectations are after a really bad year for the Beavs last season.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the Pac-12 this year, I've got a top four and a bottom four. I think the four teams at the top are Boise State, Fresno, San Diego State, and Texas State. I think those are your top four teams, and they're going to battle it out for the title. And then at the bottom are some rebuilding teams in my mind, and mostly new head coaches with the exception of Utah State. Washington State, Utah State, Colorado State, and Oregon State all have new head coaches, and in the transfer portal era, that's pretty tough. So at the very top of the Pac-12, I think it's a battle between Boise and Fresno, and Fresno gets that game at home. Mm-hmm. I know not a lot of folks are talking about Fresno, but very impressed with the job that Matt Entz is doing there. They're a team that likes to run the football, use two tight ends. And I think they're a very strong team this year. But I did go with Boise. Spencer Danielson's got his quarterback back and Maddox Mattson. They've got the running backs with Riley and Gaines. The offensive line has got two NFL-caliber guys, and Roger Kerrion and Matoyer. Matt Wagner at tight end looks like an NFL potential tight end, and the defense is always solid under Danielson. They do have to play Fresno on the road, which is going to be tricky, but I think overall they're the best team in the Pac-12 and a great shot at making the playoff. And Oregon State, got to tell you, it was a really interesting call with Coach Shepherd, because I always start out with the first-year head coaches. First time I talked to him, I said, okay, Coach, I've sent you over my team pages. They've got all the information, all the players on, all my notes on every player. What I want you to do is to put me in order and then tell me a little something about each of the players that are on the team. He's like, Phil, I'm not going to put you in order. I'm not going to tell you anything because I want this thing to be a surprise at the start, but I will go over the players with you. And then, you know, sort of has an, I understand that as a first year head coach, pull some surprises. And he did say next year would be a different year for our conversation, but it was an interesting conversation with Coach Shepherd, but they do have a lot of new players and they have a tough schedule. Yeah. You know, when you look at it, playing San Diego State at home, playing Texas State at home. The only games, you know, and who are they going to play in that last game of the Pac-12? That's always a big question mark because it's, you know, they're tentatively scheduled for Washington State again. We'll see, but it does look like a rebuilding year for me, especially opening up against Houston and Texas Tech.
Quick question for you, Phil, as we're talking to Phil Steele, the College Football Preview Magazine. What does a rebuilding year equate to in your mind of wins and losses? Like, I know there's a lot of things that can go different ways, but I'm kind of curious what that means to you when you say it's a rebuilding year down in Corvallis. And also, how many coaches hit you with the, yeah, Phil, thanks for that, I'm not going to go in order because I'm not going to give you my depth chart? Now, you're kind of left guessing a little bit, and some of that stuff can move around with injuries and whatnot and got camp battles ahead. But how often do you get the pushback a little bit of like, hey, Phil, love what you do, not giving you my full complete depth chart, want it to be a surprise?
That's what made it unique. First coach that told me that. So, and I've been doing this for some time, and I talked to 133 of the 138 coaches, and so I was like, wow, that's interesting. But he did say, you know, Phil, want to have a good relationship, and next year will be a little bit different, and I'm sure it will be, but it was unique. It was interesting to me for that to happen. Now, rebuilding year means I do not expect a bowl game. Mm. When I look at the schedule this year, I've got them an underdog at Houston against Texas Tech. I think the UTEP game is going to be tough on their road. I think UTEP's going to be underrated. At Colorado State, I've got them an underdog. San Diego State. Basically, I'm looking for about four wins this year for Oregon State, which would be an improvement over last year's 2-10. But I don't see them getting to a bowl game this year.
All right, last one for you, Phil. Who is your dark horse candidate to be a playoff team that maybe isn't getting a lot of attention right now? And then we got to know who's the national champion pick.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a dark horse, I'm going to go with USC. I don't think everybody's thinking three Big Ten teams. It's going to be Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana. I think USC could sneak in there. And then for the national title this year, I'm going to go with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I'm a guy that values defense, and Notre Dame had a great defense last year. They got nine starters back on the defensive side of the ball. Their units rate number one, and number five in my rankings. I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee. I value offensive line play. They have my number one rated offensive line. They've got a veteran quarterback in C.J. Carr, who was thrown into the fire as a freshman last year. Now he's a sophomore, and they've got a schedule that's really set up well. The only two games I don't have them a double-digit favorite are at BYU and then home against Miami of Florida. So I think when you look at the talent, the schedule, the fact their motto this year is leave no doubt, I like Notre Dame to win it all this year, but it's going to be a great race. And as we saw last year, once you get to the playoff, I mean, Miami was the last team in, and they're playing in the national title game, very nearly won it.
I got to ask you this real quick, and it's just a one-word answer. The coach that you actually look forward to talking to the most on the phone, for whatever reason, maybe the rapport is great, your guys' personalities are similar. Who is the coach that stands amongst the other coaches of, like, the phone call is the one maybe you enjoy the most more than the others?
Can't play favorites. I love the majority of the call. I'm going to throw this one out. Mike Leach, always super interesting.
R.I.P.
Yeah. 2.5-hour call. The guy's walking on the beach in Florida, signing autographs, taking time, telling me about pizza, talking about players out on the lake. But we did manage about 1 hour and 15 of that would be actual football on his team.
Yeah, he was great, man. One of our favorites as well, and somewhere, I'm sure he's sitting under a tree with seeing a player that has a girlfriend and a fat girlfriend under a tree with some lemonade somewhere. So good stuff. Phil Steele, the College Football Preview Magazine, a great guest and very informative. Check out the magazine everywhere where you can find magazines and check him out on Twitter as well, at Phil Steele. Thanks, Phil, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot of fun as always, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great summer.
Yeah, there we go. Good stuff. Phil Steele, very interesting note on Oregon State's approach.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. You don't get any info out of us.
A first? We're number one.
Bring on the USC hype, baby.
And one more thing to add on in college football. Get to that next on 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, welcome back in. Good morning. Dirt, I don't know what you have planned for the rest of the show. I feel like, based on some reading, we might have to talk about our old friend Matt Miller today.
Yeah, it's not a lot going on there.
Yeah.
T's and P's, but
to
also,
say the least.
T's and P's and...
T's and P's?
I mean, kind
he's
of,
not
yeah,
dead.
But...
he's just missing an arm.
That's the painful thing to go through, I would imagine. I've never lost an arm before.
I think when you're hit by a semi, all of it is painful.
It's probably very painful.
But it's a pretty big story now. It's not just internet fodder. It's become like actually reported on, talked about. Yeah. People are finding old tweets about this military guy is about to be set off and he needs a laptop. Send the money to my Venmo. What?
An African prince is trying to send me money.
Yeah, there's a bit of that vibe.
It seems legitimate.
We will talk. I think we should talk about it. It's my two cents. You do what you want to do. We'll get to it.
I got an early over-under from Vegas on the Portland Trailblazers for next
year.
Damn
it, I couldn't find it.
I got it, baby.
I saw an early list. I didn't see the whole thing. I'm curious what Portland is. I will give a guess before we get to that. But
okay.
Real quick, because I want to play one cut from an ACC college football coach before we get to hour three.
Mm-hmm.
The first coach ever doing it, Phil Steele says, the first. He talks to 130 coaches every year.
If you ain't first, you're last.
He gets full depth charts, full rundowns. In all the years he's done the magazine, the first coach to ever basically tell him, I'm not giving you a depth chart, is Oregon State's coach, Jamarcus Shepherd.
Yeah, buddy!
I don't know if I'm like I really ultimately... It doesn't really concern me. It is a funny, random, oh my God, for real.
Welcome to the world of what that I've been living in for quite some time of like a veil of secrecy around the program.
Yeah, that's
as
for
if it's
sure
going to impact
happening.
Things. Can we know who the start? Remember last year, we didn't even know who the starting quarterback was going into the first game.
Yeah.
We all assumed it was Dante Moore. He never named a starting quarterback.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That's a cool moment for
you. You got to keep them guessing, man. That is pretty funny. That I was shocked when you asked that question. I assumed 10% of coaches.
Every year, I was assuming
he goes
through
that.
It's
got to be a handful
right?
of guys. I'm like, Phil, I'm not going to tell you who my starting quarterback is. I'm still in the middle of a position battle here, all right? I'm not giving you that information. Man. The first one ever?
Pretty
it
wild.
Either makes you feel great or terrible.
I think you could be in between.
Can I throw something at you with Oregon State, by the way?
Yeah.
I don't know what else you add here. You wanted to play coach audio?
Well, we can hold it. It's okay. James Franklin.
Oh, we can hold that.
We'll get to that later.
How much do you value the age of a college football team?
Value in terms of like I put a lot of investment in emotionally that I think they'll be good because of their old.
Yeah, just older, more mature bodies.
I do buy it. I think it's different depending on your circumstance. Like clearly that mattered for Indiana.
Yeah.
At Oregon State this year, first year coach, new system, I'd say it's important enough to maybe get past Phil Steele's barometer of four wins to get to a bowl game.
A lot of veteran experience on there.
If you have veteran experience, I think that if coached right, could get to a bowl game at a minimum.
Well, Oregon State has the sixth oldest roster in college football this year.
That makes me feel like they can exceed the four-win total Phil Steele thinks they'll have.
The rest of the top 10, UTSA.
Okay.
You're going to sense a theme here.
Is that the Roadrunners?
That is the Roadrunners.
Meep, meep.
The North Texas Mean Green. Mm. Utah State, who Phil's not high on.
Yeah.
FAU. Mm-hmm. Navy. Not a surprise there. Oregon State. UAB, I believe, is the logo. Washington State, and then Oklahoma State.
Okay. So and Oklahoma State is a sleeper for some this year.
For some. They're a trendy team in the Big 12. So
okay.
You guys have an older roster, and outside of Utah State, I believe the second oldest in the conference.
He's also drinking the USC Kool-Aid.
I love it, dude. Keep drinking that Kool-Aid. I love it.
Dark horse.
Oh, we're all shaking in our boots. It's the best defense you ever had. Oh, no.
If you missed our conversation with Phil Steele, check it out at 1051thefan.com. We have a lot to talk about in hours 3 and 4, and we're back next on Portland Sports Leader 1051.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.